If I could get you to open up your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 20. I don't desire to overdo things, but I have been asked to cover the Charlie Kirk assassination from a couple weeks ago when I talked about it. What I'd first like to do by starting out, one of the things that I'd like to say is that I appreciated about Charlie Kirk in the sense of he was very bold for the gospel. I appreciated that. I was very thankful for that. One of the other things that I was very appreciative of for, and I just really feel led by the Lord at this point to kind of lay some things out. So, like I said, it's not that we want to overdo things, but we have to trust the Lord's direction at different times. And I feel like he's stirring my heart in this way, so I need to listen to him. That he came in and calls young people to begin to really think about the choices that they were making and to not just listen to the liberal machine, I was really thankful for that. And I really saw a sense of young people starting to step back and really begin to think about it, and not always from a gospel standpoint, but at least just from a right and wrong standpoint, what's beneficial in their own life. And sometimes it was the gospel was intertwined, and sometimes it wasn't. But that they begin to really think about the choices that they were making, I was very thankful for that. And also the very family values that he began to carry out and live out. I was very thankful for that. And with that being said, there was also things with my own ears and my own eyes that I saw and that I heard that didn't line up with Scripture. And so that usually puts a pastor in a very unique situation. Because at that point, I'm not dumb to the fact that I know how much the church has intertwined into the politics of the world and the United States. And I'm also not dumb to the fact of how much the New Age church has so intertwined to the world, or they've invited the world into the church. So I'm not dumb to either of these facts. And I understand that one of the things that I begin to see coming out of the assassination, what began to take place afterwards, is I also can understand the scriptures where it says, or the scripture where we're not ignorant of the schemes of the devil. Because some of the things that I begin to see coming out of that is I begin to see what I would probably define as more modern day churches beginning to stand up and attack more biblically foundational churches in the sense of maybe more traditional, and biblical foundation is what they really focus on. I'm beginning to watch this happen with my own eyes, with my own ears. I'm seeing it happen. And I'm beginning to see how the attacks can begin to come and how much the church is so intertwined now into the political realm. And also the new church has invited the world into their lives. So with that being said, it puts pastors that desire to just stick to the Bible in a very unique position. But what I would like to pose to you today is a question. If in fact you were out in an area and you begin to see shepherds, and shepherds begin to see danger, shepherds begin to hear danger, and then those shepherds didn't do anything, would you say they were good shepherds?
No.
I would say no. I would say no. I would say they're very terrible shepherds. But if in fact a shepherd stands up and a shepherd says, okay, I see danger, I hear danger, I've got to say something. So my point was bold for the gospel. I loved the guy. The Wednesday when he got assassinated, I was sitting there studying, preparing for that night. And at first I was not shocked that it happened, but I was taken back at the way it happened. My first thought that went through my mind was his daughter, his wife, the young people, and our country went through my mind. I have a 4-year-old. I have a wife. I could not imagine what they were going through. So my heart hurt. And even that Wednesday night, we spent that Wednesday night talking through it as a church and coming back to just what does Scripture say, and letting that be in our anchor, and to continue on the message of the gospel. And a church has been called to do that. A church is separate from conservatism or liberalism. It's separate. It is that which proclaims the gospel. So as a pastor, you have to then begin to, you've got to thread the needle when it comes to the gospel. And you realize one of the things that I'm beginning to see is I'm beginning to see attacks coming from both sides now, which I heard years ago by a very famous radio television guy. If the Conservative Party would just take abortion out and take Christ out, they'd win every election. So I'm literally watching in this day and age, we're starting, that we get attacked from one side, that's always been the case. It's not a big deal. But now attacks are coming from the other side too. If you don't proclaim the message we tell you to proclaim. And I believe that I'm seeing that take place in our day, because the church is so amalgamated into the world that it's hard to decipher the two anymore. So I just want to share with you in Acts verse 20. I cared when that took place. I related to this family, to this man. I appreciated the boldness. But like I said, there were things that I heard with my own ears and saw with my own eyes that I couldn't affirm. But that's okay. That the gospel's preached, that I will rejoice. But there are certain things as a pastor you can't affirm. And that's where a pastor has to thread that needle when it comes to the gospel. And our job as pastors or shepherds is to proclaim truth and proclaim Christ, but to believe that Christ is a Savior. I'm not against Charlie Kirk. I am for Jesus. And so did I appreciate him? Yes. But I also understand the church is separate and we have to stay there. So in Acts chapter 20, if you look at me in verse 20, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was this was Paul, farewell the Ephesians. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks, repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, okay, now I'm getting ready to go. And then we come into verse 25. And now behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will no longer see my face. He believes death is getting ready to come for him. We do know some years later in AD 67, we do believe that Paul did meet his death by the hands of Nero. Verse 26, therefore I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all men. But watch this. 27, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. It's the whole purpose. Verse 28, be on guard for yourselves. So this is to the leaders of the Ephesus church. You got to be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that day and night, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one of you with tears. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I didn't covet gold, silver, clothes. So my point in sharing this with you is this is one of my favorite chapters. And I remember when I first got saved, the Spirit of Christ within inside of me stirs within inside of me. That says I have a great responsibility to protect this church and a desire to do it in such a way that begins to draw attention and bring awareness to the influence that can so easily come in and get you and I off the truth of the gospel and the presentation of it and the living it out and the love of God to proclaim the gospel to all men. So I was asked to kind of clarify, and so I felt led I needed to clarify in the sense of honorable young man, thankful for the preaching of the gospel, the sharing of the gospel, to stir young people's hearts, to have strong family values, appreciated all those things. But like I said, there were certain things that I couldn't affirm. But as pastors, we have a responsibility to thread the needle of truth and to say, listen, this is a part of our jobs. is to guard that flock. Pay attention to yourself that we're not going into sin, but to guard and protect that flock, because the influence of the world and the evil one could so easily come in and divide. And those are some of the things that I am seeing. I'm seeing the attacks come in from both sides now if you don't proclaim our message. But it comes back to, what's the message that we proclaim? That there's salvation in no other name than Jesus Christ. And it's only through Jesus Christ that hearts will be changed, that change the individual, that rescue that individual. And so I was asked to clarify some of that. If anybody has any other questions, please feel free to talk to me afterwards. I'll be glad to talk with you. What I can tell you is we're men and we're fallible. But what I can proclaim to you is that I know I love the Lord, and I know I love you, and I love this church. My desire is to proclaim truth. That truth sometimes can offend you and I, but also the influence of the world and the way of the world can intertwine with us at times, so that when truth is proclaimed, it takes us off target. Mm-hmm. So desire good, desire to see good, honorable, wanted to speak honorably in that way, but also at the same time, to keep us grounded in the truth and a part of what our responsibility is as pastors as well. So shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you, my desire is not to dishonor you in any way. My desire is to honor you. Lord, you tell us in your word that there is salvation in no other name than your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we believe that. We also believe, Lord, you tell me in your word that things are going to proceed from bad to worse. You tell me that, Lord, that the love of many is going to grow cold. We're seeing that. You tell us that as true Christians, Lord, and that's our desire to be, that we're going to suffer persecution. Lord, I believe we're seeing that in this day and age. So, Lord, I do pray that you would open the eyes of our heart. And as Paul would say, that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That we would see things clearly, Lord, not be muddied up by the influence of the evil one or the world, but that, Lord, you would give us endurance in these days ahead, that you would give us wisdom, that you would give us keen insight, not in the sense of condemning, but in the sense of elevating truth, because we believe that it is your truth and your Son that saves. And my desire, Lord, is your desire. I desire to see no man perish, but to see all come to know, have repentance and salvation in Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I pray that would be a church that we would have here. In Jesus' name, amen.